Okay, got all mic'd up, but I want to get a little response from you if I could. I know how hesitant you are to share, so I know this might be a stretch for some of you, but I wanted to begin our time in the Word this morning by asking a couple of questions. Number one, if you were asked, and you are being asked, what you value the most. What kind of, and it doesn't have to be just a single thing, but if you begin to think about, the things that you value the most, your car, your, okay, children, relationships, freedom, jobs, provisions. What was the, Juliana? Your girls? Grace? Yeah, freedom. I mean, yes, yeah, food, health, maybe looks, reputation. Here, let me reverse and change the question and see if the answers change. What do you worry about the most, or fear?
Evil.
Money,
I'm sorry.
evil.
I didn't mean that. Jesus' name, that's dumb. But okay. Yeah, evil is bad. Yeah,
Okay.
homelessness.
Homelessness, loss of health, loss of a child or family, loss of family, maybe the future. Worry about the future, concerned. Boy, let me, speaking of future, and I don't know how many of you watch, I come across, here's a couple of, a website that you should not go to. Trying to think of what it's called. Yeah, fear.com. USdebt.org. Have you ever looked at that? It's a page and it lists, there's probably 100 different things and they're all ticking, or they're all, it lists the US debt, the GDP, the gosh, I can't even think of, there's dozens of things that are listed there. And here's a book not to read as well. Implosion. Implosion. Is it by Rosenberg? Joel Rosenberg? And just talking about, I'm not so much, this relates to where we're going here. I'm not trying to give you fuel for things to worry about, but but rather fuel for things to pray about. Because unless God intervenes, I really believe that's, I mean, it just doesn't take any kind of imagination or thinking to realize we just cannot continue to head down the road we're going. Just one little indicator in the year the years between 1789 and 2000, we developed a national debt of something like $3.4 trillion, something like that. In the next 8 years, during the time that President Bush was in office, and this is not a political, I'm going to talk about Obama in just a sec, or his term as well. It's not so much to talk about politics or the difference between Republicans, Democrats. It has nothing to do with that. It just facts are, in the next 8 years, that national debt almost doubled. In 8 years, what over 200 years to achieve, almost doubled to almost $6 trillion, and in the next 3 years, it almost, let's see, eight, it almost tripled. It's now over $16 trillion, and in the year 2011, it increased 3 million dollars per minute. I mean, and you look at the, I don't want to spend a lot of time, but just to kind of, I'm just saying, if there are reasons, we're grateful for our freedom, we're grateful for our provision, but there is not cause to worry, but there is cause to pray and for the second coming. So let me just kind of, I read somewhere, this is what kind of got me thinking about some of this. I read, what you fear or worry about the most reveals what you value the most. What do you think? And then the next line of that statement was, what you fear the most also reveals where you trust God the least. What do you think? A few months ago, in fact, I looked it up. It was on April 24th. I did a message on Luke, from Luke 18. And this is how I began the message. And this is an exact quote. At least it was in my notes as such, whether I... once when Jesus had been talking to the disciples about the extent of depravity and immorality and troubles in the last days, the days leading up to his return. So he's talking about today, really, or these days. He strongly exhorted the disciples to pray. In fact, he told them a parable to show them that they should always pray and what? Never give up. Not give up. They should always pray and not lose heart or hope. They should always pray and not worry or fear or be anxious. Do you remember the parable, Luke 18? The widow and the unjust judge? And it's a parable contrasting the unjust judge who was finally willing to give the lady what she wanted, contrasting that unjust judge with God, who is gracious and generous, and how that we need to come to him with our requests and our needs, and how willing he is to be generous and to hear and to answer our prayers. So I gave a couple of quotes on worry in that message. I'll just read one of them. Worry is filling your mind with bad thoughts of the worst that could happen. Worry is like water, goes on to say. It begins as a trickle of doubt. Remember this? It begins as a trickle of doubt that creeps into your mind. If it isn't stopped, it soon becomes a stream of fear, which creates a pond of paranoia, which overflows into a river of distress, which develops into a raging torrent of tension. And before you know it, the flood of worry has carved a grand canyon of anxiety in your mind. If that isn't, that's one of those Reader's Digest kinds of things that needs to, you know, talks about just the graphic pictures of words, to be able to create a word picture. In this case, it's, of course, in the negative, because that's a great, perhaps the greatest picture of what worry and fear does if we allow it. If we allow it to start, there's no stopping. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow until it just is destructive. And so my question, as we begin a message this morning out of Philippians 4, how are you doing? And we had this message, in essence, or a part of the message was dealing with this. But I'm thinking, you know, I give a message and that just kind of clears things up, and just, you know, we heed it and we move on. So I'm assuming that worry and fear and anxiety have just been dealt with, and I really don't need to preach this message on Philippians 4. Kevin's amen in that? Agreeing? You know, TR is exactly right. You know, we need to be reminded. of God's word. We need to be reminded of his promises. Amen. Because we all have, you know, that toxic disease of spiritual amnesia. And just in an instant, I mean, we could quote verses and something can happen and immediately our minds are distracted and just headed down a complete different path. And that's why the children of Israel, you look at them, you think, wait a minute. You know, they just were delivered from Pharaoh and they were just given manna and they were just given water and they were, you know, just one miracle after another. And then one little thing happens and they turn around and curse God. What is their problem? I mean, that's what we tend to think when we're looking and reading about them. And yet we look right here, we discover that we're just the same. We have the same tendencies. And that's why Paul is addressing such a fact. I wrote it in my notes here, skipping down a little bit. I'm convinced that this is one of the most significant truths in all of Scripture. Significant principles that must be grasped lest we are believers that are just, grabbed a hold of by the tail and just, flip this way and that, depending on what happens. It's kind of like that's the way we are, just completely at the mercy of circumstances. And Paul's saying, no. And look at Paul. If anybody had reason to worry and to wonder and to complain, it was him. And so this isn't somebody that's telling us not to worry and he's living in an ivory palace or he has just experienced, one miracle after another. Although that part is true, it's just that he's currently in need of the next miracle. But he is here, here's Paul speaking from prison. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I told you I skipped ahead. So before I read the text, I want to just tell you kind of what my hope is for the next. Do you think I can do this in 15 or 20 minutes? Probably not. But yeah, don't worry about it. Good. No, that's my goal. But in the next 15 or 20 minutes to do this. Or that this would happen. Daniel and I are hoping, I'm not hoping that you'll go backpacking with us, although you could, but Daniel and I are hoping to go backpacking at least later, maybe next month. And the reason I mention that is that there is nothing that quite compares with the freedom and the change from lugging a 40 or 50 pound pack up an 8 mile trail, removing that pack, taking off the boots, and walking around and experience just an ease, a lightness. You almost feel like it must be what it would feel like to walk on the moon. You just feel like you're just kind of floating, and that picture, that feeling came to mind as I was thinking about. My goal, my prayer for us today is that each of us would experience that same absence of heaviness and freedom of movement in not just even just in our spirits, but in our whole being, that there would be just a freedom of movement and that there would be a complete freedom. That's my goal, my prayer, that there would be a freedom, a new freedom from worry and fear and anxiety. And Lord, it's not going to be because of my great preaching that prayer is answered. Lord, that's just, in fact, I could be the greatest preacher in the world and it wouldn't make a difference, Lord. The only way that prayer could be answered is if you answer it, Lord, by your Spirit. But God, it's not just a lofty, unrealistic prayer or wish, Lord. It's a reality. It's not only a reality. It's what you want to do and have promised to do if we look to you, depend upon you, and demonstrate, Lord, purpose in our heart to practice your truths and live.
Paper.
pray that you would answer our prayers, replace it with a spirit, your spirit, where there is freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. You agree with that prayer? Here's the scripture that is, I'd like to know, this is one of those things, I would like to know how many times I've preached or used this verse over the years. But suffice it to say, here's the verse out of Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4. And this is what it says. Do we have it up here? Yeah, in fact, let's read this verse 4 together. In fact, can you stand with me and let's rejoice together, can we? Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. How about if we repeat that verse like one more time? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Okay. Be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, we'll stop right there and you can be seated. I like it, by the way, when we stand and read God's word. And I mentioned this earlier, but I'll say it again. The more I study and realize that this is, without a doubt, one of the most, if not, well, we would debate, but it just a significant truth in all of Scripture. Paul had learned and gained a perspective, and like few had gained, and he is trying to convey this essential truth to the Philippian church. And I almost just feel like, you know, Philippians, Philomath. I don't know. But he's trying to convey this truth to the Philippian church that no matter what happens, regardless of what happens, prayers answered or not, tough circumstances or skating, you know, whatever, regardless, that we don't have to worry or fear about most things. Right? I think there was some traffic that went by that you didn't maybe catch what I just said there. Oh, anything. Yeah, not so we don't have to worry or fear about most things. I mentioned that if you know anyone had a reason to fear or to be concerned or to be anxious or to worry, it was Paul. And yet it was Paul who had now he's where is he in prison? Which jail is he in? The Roman. And it was, I don't know, maybe 5 years earlier, before he got a chance to visit the Roman church, it seemed like there was a letter, some kind of a letter that he wrote to the people, the church of Rome, called the Book of Romans. There is, at the very end of chapter 8, a verse that says this, because, you know, Paul, he's not one that has, I mean, this is like, I want to say, after his third missionary, I mean, he'd been traveling around and done quite a bit of things. He had experienced a whole lot. And so he is speaking from this Philippian jail, and he's saying, hey, you know, I've tasted, I've been around, I've tasted, I've seen God's faithfulness like you wouldn't believe. And so, yeah, I've got some pretty dire straits that are impending. They're just, even if I'm not death, you know, or going to get sentenced to death, I'm still in a tight place. But I want to tell you, you don't need to worry about anything. But in fact, you can rejoice about everything or in everything. And he's saying, when the verse in Romans that I was referring to is, he says, I'm convinced that neither, remember this, death or life, or, in fact, let me start with the first part of that. He says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And he lists about a dozen things. So trouble or hardship or persecution? How about famine? How about nakedness or danger or sword? He says, then a couple of verses later, he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else, that pretty much covers the basis, anything else in all of creation will be ever able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I read that, I'm always looking up different descriptions or definitions. And here's a definition of worry I hadn't, it's a rephrasing of some of the same things, but worry is the sin of distrusting God's promises and power. It's the sin of distrusting promises, the promises and the power of God. That's what worry is. Did you catch that? It's a sin. In fact, here's a definition that'll open your eyes. Do you know worry is a form of atheism? Psalms 14:1 begins this way. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And what the writer of this, the definition of worry is basically saying, if you allow worry to prevail, in essence, you're saying that either there is no God that can help deal with the circumstances you're facing, or that your God is so limited in power that he's not big enough to take care of whatever you're facing. And so perhaps you could argue that would be a stretch, but there is a place for agreeing that worry, allowing worry to prevail, is basically saying, I need to, because worry is really assuming a responsibility that is really God's. And so it's saying, you know, God, you need some help with this. I need to worry. I need to be concerned. I need to be anxious about this because I'm not sure that you're able to take care of it or realize the seriousness. Paul is saying, hey, you don't only need to worry. You have, if you believe, if God is God, then you not only have no reason to worry, but you have every reason to rejoice. And in fact, he's kind of saying that God is not only able, but he's a whole lot closer to your circumstances than you realize. And I think that's what tends to happen is when stuff, you know, the circumstances that look so overwhelming and impending, that we when you focus on those, it brings them up so close and personal that you are unaware of just how close and available God is. So here's the first thing that I want to suggest this morning after reading this text is that you don't have to worry when you live at home. I got an opportunity to visit my folks here a couple of weeks ago, and I'm always reminded when I get to go home of just how good I had it when I was a kid. There were things that I worried about at different times. I'm going to get that new motorcycle tire that I need for my, you know, am I going to have enough gas to, you know, and to get to the top of Mount Baldy? And I mean, there's stuff that you worry about, but that seem so important, but I never worried about whether there was going to be food on when the bills came. I don't even most of the time wasn't even aware that the bills came. Once in a while I might see a bill, but wasn't my worry, wasn't my problem. I didn't have to, you know, if money was tight, I might have heard a little thing, but I didn't have to worry about stuff. The things were just, if there were issues that come up, if we had to go to the doctor, if crisis come, Dad would take care of it. Mom would take care of it. You know, if I needed to ride somewhere, I walked. Rode my bike a lot. But they just took care of it. And I just realized that, you know, that's the same thing. I was at, if you guys didn't get to hear Bob and Friends the other night at museum, you missed a treat. And if we ever get a chance to get your group together, we need to announce that and give everybody a heads up, because that was really, you rock. Yeah, God's, talk about gifts of God. He's just given gifts that you guys just blended together and it sounds so good. But, you know, I like going to things like that. I like to visit other churches. I like to go to events where I can just, eat. You know, just kind of, you know, sit back and just enjoy. And, you know, there are a couple of issues. They were trying to work on the sound, and I was watching them, the Dan and different ones trying to make things happen. I wasn't worried in the least, because I wasn't in charge. And I just like being involved in things where I'm not in charge, because I don't have to worry about anything. And we had a wheelchair. Someone kind of ran over the lines. I was like, oh my word, you know. And then they got caught up, of course. And not only did they get caught and tangled, but one of the cords completely was severed. And I'm going, oh no, they're already having some issues. And you know, get this.
Believe it or not, that cord, we weren't even using it.
It went to nowhere. It was the only cord. And I'm just saying that if I were in charge, if it was my job to be in charge there, that could have given cause for a little stress, a little worry, a little anxiety. But I wasn't in charge. And I just think, you know, too many times I assume charge of my life or circumstances that I have no business being assuming that position. Do you hear me? Anybody else wrestle with some of that? You know, just sometimes. And so, like I said, that's why we don't have to worry when you're not in charge. When you live at home, you know, when you live with God and realize just how close by He is, He's in charge. It's His worry. It's His concern. I might, you know, God, you know, I might. Do you see this? But that's what Paul is saying. You know, rejoice always, and also in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests. God, we have a concern right here. This is a serious concern. Our baby needs breath and a heartbeat. You know, for those of you who know about our Daniel, who's turning 21 next month, he had a similar thing. The doctor, we were in the hospital, and I think the plan was to have this baby at home, wasn't it? Or no, the plan was we had Josh at home. I can't keep these things straight, you know. Karen doesn't forget, but Karen had felt that we needed to have this baby at the hospital. And we had Daniel, and as there were some difficulties and some issues, the doctor looked up to me, knowing that I was a pastor, and he says, something like this, if you have any connections with the man upstairs, now would be a good time to pray. And the short of it was that, as I recall, the umbilical cord was very short, and it was causing undue stress to the point where they were concerned about his being born alive. And so I'm giving glory to God. I spoke right. My prayer was not a silent prayer. And it was right then and right out loud. And God answered. And it's funny how things can become emotional even after 21 years later. But that's the kind of thing. That this is a worry. This is at least a cause for worry. But God, I present this need, this worry, this concern, this whatever it is that I'm facing to you. And then I put it in your hands, and then I can step back. And it makes it a whole lot easier to rejoice. Why are you rejoicing? Nothing's. I'm still chained. I'm still facing struggles. Hey, I'm rejoicing because I'm not in charge anymore. I just gave it to God, and he's in charge. And so I know it's in his hands, and even if it doesn't turn out the way I think it should turn out, that's okay. And then listen to this. The next two verses. Boy, I'm really close. I've got 2 minutes to do two verses. So you don't have to worry when you live at home or when God's in charge. The second and last, instead of living in fear, think about this. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. In fact, let's stand. Did I skip 7? Yeah, let's do it all from the beginning. That sounds good. I did skip 7, and it's an important part because I want to say something about 7. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, beyond our imagination, our ability to comprehend, transcends our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Go ahead and be seated. I will pray in just a moment. When God's in charge, he is able. You know, when we do worry, how much does our worrying help? Or, you know, what does it accomplish? What are we able to do by worrying? Yeah. Not only can we not do something constructive or beneficial, but it really, as we read earlier, it's destructive. It actually does more harm, far more harm than good. But what happens when we, instead of worrying, trust in God and look to Him? I like Jeremiah's. I love this. It's a familiar verse, but as I read it, I just think of, it's like he's just had a drink of Dr. Pepper or something. You know? Big drink of Dr. Pepper. Lord God, nothing is too difficult. I'm misquoting it here. Lord God, help me out here. You have made the heavens and the earth. by your outstretched arms. What's the next part? Nothing is too difficult for you. You know, what a contrast. Let's see, worry or God. Dr. Pepper. You know, and what when you when God's in charge, let me spit it out here, when God's in charge, he's like he guards that guarding that comes in, guards our hearts and our minds with the peace, guards our hearts and minds, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, guards our hearts and minds. That word guard, I like that word. It's a word, Greek word that means referee. He is there to make certain that the game is called right and fair. And if God is able to, I mean, if God's in charge, he's guarding, he's making sure that his peace is prevalent, that his peace comes in. And I just think, you know, what a deal. I can hand over my 50-pound pack of, you know, of worries and exchange it for Dr. Pepper. Peace that transcends. And that's what, you know, that's why then the admonition then, is, so instead of thinking about the things that you could think about, the what might happen, how about thinking about this? Discipline yourselves, brethren, Paul is saying. Discipline yourselves. Think about, you know, the things that are true and noble and praiseworthy and admirable and pure and right. I mean, he just helps us with all, you know, like 10 different adjectives of the kinds of things we should be thinking. Don't think about the circumstances. Think about these things. Not, you know, it's not being oblivious, but it's not letting that be the focus. And it brings, allows the peace of God, the presence of God, the power of God. In fact, the other prevents all of that from happening. It keeps God, you know, it's like God says, okay, all right, if you don't want, like TRC, if you don't want my help, if you don't want my presence, if you don't want my peace, go ahead. Go ahead, if that's what you want. Or anytime you change your mind, change your thinking. So let me end with that verse that I said, that Psalm 27 that we sang about. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't need to fear any. If God is my light and my salvation, I don't need to fear anything. So how about it? I don't know what you came in with this morning. I didn't see anybody, you know, setting their backpacks aside, and or you know trudging in, but I know we did. I know that we carried some, and sometimes it becomes such a part of us, we're not even aware of what we're carrying. And I'm saying that if God is revealing something to you that you're carrying that's heavy, that is causing worry, causing fear, I'm saying, would you leave it here? We can clean up. I like messy churches. I've discovered, I told, Karen's like, wait a minute, that's not what you said this last week. What, there's this new book I'm reading about, it's not implosion. It's one you can read. It's called Messy. And God likes it that way. And it's really close to that title anyhow. And the idea is that I can get concerned. You and I can get concerned with messes, but God, he just majors in dealing with messes, and so leave a mess here today. Leave the weight of whatever it is that is trying to hold you back. And Lord, we We just are saying thank you for being the kind of God that not only puts up with our messes, but you clean us up, Lord. You take away every mess. Lord, it's not that there aren't consequences of our decisions, but God, you do carry. You care. And so we don't have to be anxious about anything or fear anything. We remember that you care so much for us that we can cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties on you. And so, Lord, would you take those this morning as we leave them at your feet, and would you give a spirit of freedom, a spirit of rejoicing, and the prevalence of your peace according to the promises in your word. And we say, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Go ahead and stand.